بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ today is the 20th of April in the year 2021 الحمدللہ we've already moved into the second week of the glorious month of Ramadan it being the 8th day and I've reached verse 43 but we're halfway through So to recite the second portion of the verse. If you are ill or on a journey or one of you comes from the call of nature or you have touched women and you find no water then take for yourselves clean earth and rub therewith your faces and hands. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does blot out sins and forgives again and again. So this is the second part of this blessed verse which talks about impurities. So here there's a few reports. So the narration is in Bayhaqi Ibn Abi Hatim Ibn Mundhir and it's authentic in Irwa ul-Ghalil, volume 1 page 210 to 12. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu, he recited this portion of verse 43. Nor in a state of ceremonial impurity, except when traveling until after washing your whole body to the end. And then he said, this is with regards to the traveler. If he becomes junub, sexually impure, and cannot find water, he should then make tayyamum, until he finds water. If he finds water, he should then make a ghusl. So here Ali radiallahu anhu was explaining this holy verse. And he said that if you are traveling and you can't find water and you are in a major state of impurity, tayyamum is sufficient. So the tayyamum is exactly the same for the ghusl. So you would have expected something different for tayyamum for the wudu and a special tayyamum for the ghusl. But Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, the tayyamum is exactly the same for ghusl. But as soon as you find water, you need to have a bath. Also Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he recited this portion. وَإِن كُنْتُم مَرْضَاءُ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٌ If you are ill or on a journey, he explained. If a man is wounded during jihad, or he has ulcers, and then gets sexually impure, junub, and he becomes afraid lest he may die on having a bath, then he may perform tayyamum. Subhanallah. So this is recorded in Bayhaqi 1-224, Daruqutni, Bazar ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih, Hakim Sahih, Bulugh al-Muram, number 145. So here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are ill or on a journey, Ibn Abbas said, that even if you have water, you can still do tayyamum on condition that the water you fear, it may cause death. So obviously you're wounded in jihad. So even when there's water, he goes, you can do tayyamum. And also when you have serious illness, ulcers, and you believe water will harm you, even in the presence of water, you do tayyamum. Because this is the meaning which the great Ibn Abbas gave, radiyallahu anhu. So now, there's a reason why this verse was revealed. So the second part of the verse, there's four reports. So the first, in Ibn Mardawih, Ibn Al-Asla, Ibn Shuraik radiallahu anhu said, on a very cold night, I became in a state of sexual impurity, and I feared to have a bath with such extreme cold water, lest I should die or become ill. When I mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. So let's look at this. So this Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he wasn't ill. He was perfectly healthy. But he feared that if he used the water, the cold water, he could die from it or become ill. So when he asked the Prophet about this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then, Allah ta'ala revealed this verse. Meaning you could do tayyamum. So even if you're the water is present and you fear that you will become ill from it, according to this hadith, you can do tayyib. Subhanallah. In another report in Tabarani, Al-Asla radiyallahu anhu said, I used to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and prepare for him his shikam. One day he said to me, O Al-Asla radiyallahu anhu, arise and prepare my shikam. I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have become sexually impure. Rasulullah thereupon kept silent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Jibreel descended with the Quran. Upon which Rasulullah said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Asla, stand and perform tayyamum. And he showed me how to perform tayyamum. I performed tayyamum just as he showed me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this adds a detail. He didn't consider it right that he even gets the camel of Rasulullah when he needs to have a bath. He thought there's something wrong here. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I would gladly get your camel, but I need to have a bath. And look what happened. Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. Meaning tayyamum. Because you could have done tayyamum for this scenario. Now, was this during a journey? The two reports don't mention this was during a journey. But Allah Ta'ala knows best. Why I say that is because the verse is talking about a traveler. A third report. In Ibn Abi Hatim, Mujahid Rahmatullah Ali said, this verse, i.e. verse 43 of Surah Nisa, this verse was sent down about a man from the Ansar who was so ill, he could not stand to perform wudu, nor was he having a servant who could help him. When this was mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah the Almighty revealed this entire verse. So here this man, Sahaba, he was so ill he couldn't stand. He wasn't sexually impure. He only needed to do wudu. But even in that scenario, Allah Ta'ala goes, you could do tayyib. So barakah the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A fourth report in Ibn Jarir, Ibrahim al-Nakhai rahmatullah alayhi said, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were afflicted with some wounds, all the while they were also sexually impure. This matter was difficult for them, and the Prophet thereupon sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. So a fourth narration says that the Sahaba did jihad, they were wounded. And when they were wounded, Allah Ta'ala also made them sexually impure. Had a wet dream. So they were thinking, we're wounded and we're also sexually impure. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed, Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse, meaning you can do tayyamum even for this. So all of these reports is the reason for the revelation of this holy verse. And of course there's no contradiction here. So now if you look at the verse, it continues. Or you have contact with women. أَوْ لَا مَسْتُمُ النِّسَىٰ, or you have touched women. So what does this mean? So in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ali and Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, they said, أَوْ لَا مَسْتُمُ النِّسَىٰ means sexual intercourse. So let's look at this. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That if you have touched women and you find no water, you can do tayyib. What does it mean, touch women? According to Ali, Ibn Abbas and many others, it doesn't mean touch. It means you have sexual intercourse with your wife or what your right hand possesses, you can do tayyib. So it's not literal according to Ibn Abbas. And this is the understanding of Imam Abu Hanifa. So when Allah Ta'ala says, if you touch women, you need to do ghusl or wudu, Imam Abu Hanifa goes, it doesn't mean that. It means sexual intercourse. That necessitates this. So now, there's a few things mentioned. So this narration is recorded in Bayhaqi in his Ma'rifa, and it's Sahih Mawsul. And also Imam Nimawi in his Athar al-Sunan, number 176. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he talked about this verse, and he said, this means everything less than intercourse. So when Allah Ta'ala says, when you have touched women, it means you've touched them with desire, then you need to do wudu or the ghusl if it's appropriate. So this is what Ibn Mas'ud said in this Sahih Hadith. In another report, and this is recorded in Imam Malik's Muwatta Sahih, and Athar al-Sunan number 177, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, a man's kissing his wife and touching her with his hand, i.e. with desire, This is the touching mentioned in the Quran. Whoever kisses or touches his wife with his hand has to do wudu. So these two reports from the great Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abdullah ibn Umar, they say that this verse actually means touching. Right? But the touching is when you're doing it with passion. If you touch your wife or what your right hand possesses with passion, wudu has gone. Or a ghusl is needed if the case arises. So this is another meaning here. So look what Ali said. Ali said, no, the verse is talking about intercourse. So according to Imam Abu Hanifa, his understanding is, even if you touch your wife with passion, no wudu. But here, the companion said, no, with desire. And I'll mention which Imams have taken this understanding. So these are direct commentaries of this holy verse. The strictest of the Imams is Imam Shafi. So here, this is the work, is by Sheikh Jibril Fuad Haddad. It's called The Four Imams and Their Schools, page 215, quoting. Imam Shafi took this verse, if you have touched women, literally. He considered the contact between the genders, even accidental or unintentional, nullifies wudu. This is the position of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Umar, Ash-Sha'bi, Nakhai, Imam Zuhri, Imam Awza'i, is confirmed by Ibn Umar's report. And it's in Imam Malik's Muwatta, and it's a Sahih Hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar said, whoever kisses or touches his wife with his hand must renew his wudu. They all read the above verse literally without interpreting touch to mean intercourse, as do the Hanafis, or touch with pleasure, as do the Malikis. So stop in the quote. So Imam Shafi'i, he takes it literally. If you touch women, the Quran says clearly, you touch women, your wudu is gone, or you need to have a bath. Imam Abu Hanifa says, no, the verse, though it says touch women, is talking about sexual intercourse, nothing else. Imam Malik said, no, it means touch, but it means with desire. They've interpreted this Quranic phrase differently. Then the Shaykh said, the reasoning of Imam Shafi is very strong, and he gives a very powerful reason. He states, the rule of muhayara, or non-redundancy in the Quran. What does he mean by this? Allah Ta'ala mentions at the beginning of the verse the state of major ritual impurity resulting from intercourse as a cause for the necessity of ghusl. Then acts that cause ritual impurity remedial with tayyamum, amongst them natural need and touching woman. So simply put, what the Shaykh is saying is, if you look at the entire verse, Allah Ta'ala has already talked about intercourse. Look at the beginning. He says, وَلَا جُنُوبًا إِلَّا عَابِرِي سَبِيلٍ. No those who are junub. So Imam Shafi say, why would Allah Ta'ala then repeat the same thing again? You understand? So if at the beginning of the verse, Allah Ta'ala talks about the junub, the one sexually impure, and later on you interpret the same verse later on to mean sexual intercourse again, it doesn't make sense. He's already talked about sexual intercourse. So Imam Shafi'i says, hence, lumps cannot mean sexual intercourse. Why? Because the term junuban was already mentioned earlier in the verse. Thus the scholars say, lumps must refer to a lesser act that is not on the level of sexual relations, because then it would be redundant. So this is a very strong proof. You understand? So if somebody says to you, I'm a bit confused about this verse. Allah Ta'ala says, you have sexual intercourse, you need to do ghusl or tayyim. I get that. Why has he repeated it? Same verse. It's like Allah Ta'ala has repeated something for no reason. That's if you interpret it like that. But if you interpret it not to mean intercourse, then there's no repeating. So Imam Shafi'i, this is his very strong proof that is actually referring to the physical touch. Then the Shaykh said, and this is very interesting, since the Shafi'i ruling on touch is the most precautionary out of the four schools, the people of Taqwa adopt this. So basically, if you're Hanafi and you're a person of Taqwa, you would say, well, even though Imam Abu Hanifa says sexual intercourse, I still would like to follow Imam Shafi'i. If I touch my wife with or without desire, I'm doing wudu. The Maliki and the Hanbali say the same, because look, even though our school says if you touch with desire, wudu is broke, but I still would like to take Imam Shafi's ruling, because that is excellent. meaning that you should all adopt this out of precaution. This is why the Shafis during the Hajj and Umrah, they have to adopt the Maliki fiqh. Why? Because during Tawaf, you're rubbing against women. So it's impossible to do Tawaf in that scenario. So they adopt the Maliki fiqh, I with desire, meaning that their wudu is intact. And this is the reason there's a difference of opinion, Allah is showing kindness. So note, the word literally means touch, and the most lenient is Imam Abu Hanifa. You know, subhanAllah. So note again, I wanted to mention the rulings here with regards to this verse. Also, there's a direct text. And if you look at the verse, so the verse continues. And you do not find water, take yourselves to clean sand or earth, and rub therewith your face and your hands. For Allah Ta'ala does blot out sins and forgive again and again. So Allah Ta'ala talks about tayyamum here. But there's a hadith. The hadith is in Tirmidhi, number 145. Imam Tirmidhi said, Hasan Ghareeb Sahih. And others have mentioned there's a weakness. So Ibn Abbas was asked about tayyamum. He said, when Allah the Almighty mentions wudu in the Quran, He says, فَغْسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقَ Surah 5 verse 6. Wash your faces and your hands up to the elbows. So stop in the report. Somebody is asking him about tayyamum, Abdullah ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas said, let's look at wudu first. Allah Ta'ala says clearly in the Quran about wudu, wash your face and your hands up to your elbows. إِلَى الْمَرَافِقَ Then he said, but he says about tayyamum, فَمْسَهُ بِوَجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ And rub your faces and hands. Elbows aren't mentioned. Then he said, Ibn Abbas, and he said, and he recites another verse, Surah 5 verse 38, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالصَّارِقُ وَالصَّارِقَةُ فَقَطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا And the male and female thief cut off their hands. Then he said, the sunnah for cutting is the two hands, meaning the wrists. You don't cut from the elbow. Thus, it is only the face and the hands which you rub in tayyamum. إِنَّمَا هُوَ الْوَجْهُ وَالْقَفَّانِ يَعْنِي تَيَّمُمْ said Ibn Abbas. So look at the beautiful way he's deduced it. Somebody asked him about tayyamum, meaning how do you do tayyamum? You wash your elbow, right? So he goes, wudu, elbow. Tayyamum, Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention elbow. Cut the thief's hand, the hand is mentioned. But what does that mean, from the shoulder, or from the elbow, or from the wrist? The Prophet didn't from the wrist, because the Quran says hand. Therefore, hands and face, that's all you do. So note Ibn Abbas, you know, this is what he was like with the Quran, right? He would deduce things because he was the tarjaman of Quran. In procedure of making tayyamum, the narration of Ammar ibn Yasir is practiced, in which the hands are struck once on the ground, and wiping over the hands up to the wrists is mentioned. This is in Sahih Bukhari number 338, Sahih Muslim number 368. So this is the most famous report. Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet struck once, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that with that one strike, you wipe over your hands and your face. That's it. There's no second strike. And your wrists, he doesn't mention the elbows. But is this the understanding of the Imams? So if you look at the direct text, you could think, well, that's it. One strike, face, hands, that's it. But there's far more to it than this. So it mentions a few reports. So this is recorded in Bazar, and Hafiz said in Ad-Diraya it is Hasan, and also it's recorded in Athar al-Sunnah number 186. Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, he said, I was present amongst the people when the concession of Tayyamum, when we could not find water, was revealed. We were commanded, and look what he said, we struck our hands on the ground once for the face, and struck once to wipe the hands up to the elbows. A person goes, hey, wait a minute, what did Ammar say? Ammar said two strikes and up to the elbow. different from what Ibn Abbas is saying, radiyallahu anhu. A second report. This is recorded in Daruqutni and Hakim and is Sahih. And also, Athar al-Sunan, number 187, Jabir radiyallahu anhu said, that the Holy Prophet himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tayyamum consists of a single strike for the face and another single strike for the arms up to the elbows. Directly from Rasulullah. So there's two strikes directly from Rasulullah. One for the face and then up to the elbows. Another report. Imam Tahawi records this and he said, Sahih. Athar al-Sunan number 189. Nafi said, I asked Abdullah ibn Umar about tayyamum. He struck his hands on the ground and he wiped his hands and his face. Then he struck again and he wiped his arms. Two strikes. And one last report, again recorded by Daruqutni, and he said, Sahih. And Athar al-Sunan number 191. Salim relates, whenever Ibn Umar, my father radiyallahu anhu, did tayyamum, he would strike his hands once on the ground, wipe his face with them, and then he would strike once more and wipe his arms up to the elbows with them. Subhanallah. So now there's a conflict. Two conflicts. One conflict, is it one strike or two? Two different reports. Second conflict, is it up to the wrist or to the elbow? And this is why you got the imams, you fruitcakes. So this work is called The Mercy in the Difference of Opinion, the Four Sunni Schools of Law by Al-Qadi As-Safadi, rahmatullah alayh, page 15. He states, the imams do not agree about tayyamum, how it should be performed. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh says, the earth should be struck twice. One for the face, one for the hands and arms. I'll give you the proofs. The soundest Shafi position is like Abu Hanifa. So Imam Shafi's sound position is the same as Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad say, it is enough to strike the earth once for both the face and the hands. Although Imam Malik prefers two strikes. Look how beautiful. The Imam, you can tell they're drenched in Sunnah. They've looked at all the reports. So some ulama said, it's two strikes. Some ulama said, one strike. And look at Imam Malik, because I prefer two. But if you do one, inshallah, it's okay. Look at the beauty of that. If you haven't got the imams, go around the merry-go-round, brother. He'll quote you a sahih hadith. He'll quote you yes. He'll quote you no. Next minute, you don't know what the heck's going on. One guy goes, go to your wrist. Another guy goes, go to your elbow. Brother, what's going on? I'm doing tayyamum. Maybe can I stop? Just follow the imams. Don't you trust the imams? But I gave you direct text. Why? Because people want to hear those texts. And there you go. I've given you the texts. Now a few things about tayyamum, which is interesting. How long does it last? Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad said, it is not allowed to combine two farads with one tayyamum, whether at home or traveling. It's only allowed for one prayer. As soon as you pray, it's gone. Imam Abu Hanifa says, tayyamum is like wudu. It lasts until you break it. Tayyamum is not permitted before the time of Salat. According to Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa says, you can't. So let's break it down. Imam Abu Hanifa says, it's like wudu. You can do it before Zohar time enters. If you got wudu before Zohar, you've got tayyamum, no problem. You can do it. You can do it, but if you break wind or anything else, then you can do tayyamum again. So Imam Abu Hanifa's ruling is very straightforward, clear. The other three imams said, no. First of all, the time has to enter, because you might find water. If the time enters, then you can do tayyamum. And they say that once you've prayed, it's gone. You can't do another farad prayer with it. So this is the rulings of the imams. Another thing. What if somebody is imprisoned? If someone is imprisoned, cannot get water, he should do tayyamum and pray. In the view of Imam Malik and Ahmad, he does not have to repeat the prayer. So think about it. You're in prison. Water's not being given to you. Or you've got enough water to drink. So what do? You pray with tayyamum. But according to Malik and Ahmad, you don't need to repeat. There are two views from Imam Abu Hanifa. The first is he should not pray until he leaves prison or finds water. The second is that he should pray with tayyamum and repeat the prayer, which is the position of Imam Shafi. So think about that. They say the prayer has to be done, but you have to repeat it. And remember your school. Another question. What if there's no water or earth? You can't even do tayammum. It could happen, right? Somebody goes, well, how can that happen? Surely you got earth. You might be tied up. Now there's no water or earth. It mentions in the work, difference of opinion, the mercy, page 15. If someone cannot find water or earth and the time of Salat comes, Imam Abu Hanifa says, he should not pray until he finds water or earth, meaning you are excused. There are three positions from Malik. One is the same as Abu Hanifa, no prayer. There's no water or earth. The second is he should pray, but when he finds water or earth, he repeats the prayer. And this is the view of Imam Shafi and Imam Ahmed. And the second view of Imam Ahmed is he should pray and does not have to repeat the prayer. And this is the third position of Imam Malik. So look how much effort the Imams have gone into making it easy for you. The whole point of the schools is for you to live your life according to the command of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. Unfortunately, people are opening up the books and they start having doubts about the Imams. Right? You go, what about the Hadith? Right? And he goes, listen. He said, what about the Hadith? Right? And then he goes, are you saying they didn't know the Hadith? So note, yes, look at the Hadiths, but at the same time have great love and veneration for what the Imams have done. Alhamdulillah. And also the hadith, one hadith from memory, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that pure earth is a means of purification for my ummah, even if they don't find water for 10 years. So imagine there's no water for 10 years. The Prophet goes, you can do tayyibah for 10 years. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any time you do tayyibah, people always feel it. They go, am I really in wudu? Am I really purified? And if you have a sexual defilement, I'll tell you straight, proper whispers kicks in, that's shaitan. So if imagine you to have a bath and you go, tayyibah. Then you think, can I pray? He goes, yeah, you can read Quran as well. And you go, oh brother, and there you go. You said, no, Allah has allowed it. Doesn't matter what I think. But as soon as water is found, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Tayyimam. And this is why this is a gift for this ummah. No previous ummah was given this. Allah ta'ala in His great kindness has given ease. The Prophet said, the world has been made pure for me. We can pray whatever we want. The previous ummahs couldn't pray except in designated places. Look how much hardship that would cause. We can pray whatever we want, in the office, on the street, whatever. And tayyibam, another great mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note again, all praise and thanks be to Him. And just to add this, this is an amusing report. The hadith is in Bukhari. And Umar and Ammar ibn Yasir, radiyallahu anhu, they both had a wet dream. They were on a journey. So Umar radiyallahu anhu, Ammar rolled about in the dirt, so he did a full, rolling about, covering it everywhere. And Umar didn't do anything, radiallahu anhu. When they reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Ammar, he said, what did you do? So he used logic. Why? He thought, if I'm sexually impure, this dust is going to go all over my body, and he's rolling about everywhere. And the Prophet smiled. He goes, no. And then he told him, strike the earth and do tayyibah. Umar radiallahu anhu didn't do that. This shows that he had deeper understanding. He thought, what you're doing is logical, but I don't accept that. And then it says, it's the same. And Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi gave the wisdom why there isn't a separate tayyibum for ghusl. He goes, why? Because you are emulating an animal. Imagine if Allah Ta'ala told us, tayyibum for ghusl is for your whole body to be covered in dust. What's the difference between you and a cow? That's what the cow does. It rolls about in the dust. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ قَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمِ He's honored the children of Adam. Therefore Allah Ta'ala goes, just do tayyibam, alhamdulillah. So I'll complete the verse and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم إن الله كان عفوا غفورا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts.
Amen.
And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك في الله من شيطان الجن سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم.